FM, live from our studio here in Accra. It's live on Love 99.5 in Kumasi and several of our affiliates across the country. Coming up, renewed resistance against the sale of SNIT-owned hotels to our Greek minister, Brian Achampong, hiding as organized labor, joins minority in parliament to demonstrate against the deal.
We have abused this democracy. Democracy is about stealing and getting away with it. It is not right. This cannot happen in any civilized country.
We'll bring you details as they say the sale could jeopardize the sustainability of pension funds. Also tonight, expect to continue paying a higher price for foodstuffs in the market as minority on Parliament at Greek and Cocoa Affairs Committee raises questions about budgetary allocations to support hundreds of farmers in tomato and onion production.
And so with this, I can predict that we should brace ourselves for higher food prices on our market.
We'll also take you to some markets in Accra where tomatoes no longer sell below 20 cedis.
This year, dear, your home is too much. And to see why they are 4,200, 4,500. But this year, you found toast 7,500, 7,800.
Also tonight, Deputy Speaker of Parliament orders Education Committee to thoroughly investigate circumstances surrounding delays in the payment of fees for thousands of Ghanaian students abroad as their woes deepen.
Let them speak to the agency and find out what their challenges are and report to the House.
More as North Town MP Samuel Okudjetua-Blackwa alleges students are yet to receive their stipends weeks after the government announced the release of 60 million cedis.
The students have still not received their stipends from latest checks.
In business, inflation to trend downwards in coming months. We have more in we have more in some report coming up in this bulletin. Listen. Well, the boys of St. Mary's Senior High School in the Western Region promises a sweet revenge for St. John's Grammar School after booking a slot in the nationals of the NSMQ 2024 with some 50 points. Let's settle for details of these stories. Now, tonight, organized labor is joining the minority in parliament to stage a mammoth demonstration against SNIT Hotel's sale to Brian Achampong's company, Rock City Hotel Limited. They argue that the future of SNIT could be placed in limbo if the deal is allowed to go through. Speaking at a press conference in Accra, Secretary General of Ghana Federation of Labor, Abraham Kumsen, said they will not sit aloof for management of SNIT to put the funds of millions of Ghanaian pensioners in danger.
God himself has sent the honorables to intervene. Otherwise, look, they will sell the hotels, they will sell the SNIT itself, and everything. That's what they wanted to do. Because if the ILO, International Labour Organization, will write, because this ILO, they are composed of employers, governments, and workers. So if they have come out with a report saying that SNIT will not live beyond 10 years, sir, it's very serious. Me, I'm on retirement. So my small thing that I'm taking to survive till I go away is not going to come. And I cannot buy my medications. So the youth too, you before you get there, everything is finished.
Well, my colleague Kenneth Jesse was at the news conference and joins me in studio with more. Kenneth, organized labor has called on all Ghanaians to join them in a protest. Tell us more.
Well, they say that, the funds of millions of Ghanaians at SNIT could be in jeopardy. And also, they do not know any civilized society where something like this could happen, where a government official could be selling state property to him or herself.
We have abused this democracy. Democracy is about stealing and getting away with it. It is not right. This cannot happen in any civilized country that is practicing democracy. But we couldn't fight it. Organized, but we couldn't fight it. And God so good, we have the honorable people in the whole country going to help us to deal with it. These people in power, they think that some of us are doing politics party politics. It's not about that. Trade unions, if we have the resources, we can also form a party. But there's nothing wrong. We have interests as workers.
Well, so what are the demands by the minority caucus in parliament, led by North Tonwe MP Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa?
Well, the demands are quite simple. They want an immediate cancellation of the deal. Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa alleges that all the directions or the directions of President Akufo-Addo for Labour Union to meet with SNIT and the Employment Ministry were just a coy to persuade the Labour Union to agree to the alleged sale of the four SNIT hotels to Brian Echampong.
We insist that President Akufo-Addo should immediately stop the sale of our SNIT hotels. We want an immediate declaration from the President, because since we started this agitation, all the President has done is to ask organized labor to go and meet the Employment Minister, to go and meet the SNIT board. At which meetings, as organized labor has told us, these appointees of the President try to convince them to agree with them for the sale to go ahead. So clearly the President and his appointees don't want to stop the sale. And we are going to insist tomorrow that the President announces that they are backing out of this unconscionable transaction.
Well, let's go on the phone lines now and speak to the General Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsin. Grateful to you for joining us here. Now, government says they want to go through the right process to ensure that this happens. SNIT itself has been explaining that they do not want to go on and, you know, incurring debt in the management of these hotels, and that's why they want to offload it to a private strategic partner. But you have issues with it. If SNIT is going to continue incurring debt and they want to offload it, wouldn't that be good for pensioners like yourself?
So what project are they going to invest the funds in it? Mm. You see, what they are doing is not right. Look, Aluwex is one of the companies that SNIT has invested money in it. SNIT, Aluwex closed down 2022. SNIT owns about 60% shares. It's not only that. Wahom, SNIT used to own shares there. SNIT, Wahom is no more. There are a whole lot of companies that SNIT has, you know, invested money there. And nothing good came out of it. Now, ILO, International Labour Organization, just about a month ago, came out with a report that, look, the SNIT scheme is going to collapse in about 9-10 years' time. Why? It is because of what is happening now. Because I think that we must even focus on the SNIT itself. We must make sure that the law, the law that established this meeting is reviewed, so that the management itself, we have to make sure that workers themselves are, you know, deeply involved in the administration, because see, it's our money, and so we must be concerned about how these monies are applied.
But workers have a representation or representations on the board. You think that's not enough? You want to be part of the day-to-day management of the fund?
But this battle, organized labor has lost it. Organized labor has lost it. Because the representatives there, even though their numbers are not enough, but I think that a few guys there also had failed us all. Because they were not reporting. They were not reporting to the leadership of organized labor. Perhaps they were representing themselves. So we must focus on how the scheme or the SNIT itself will be restructured. Mm. And that will have to do with the amendment of the law.
Well, you mentioned that.
We are lucky that the minority caucus, you know, has come to our aid. In fact, if they have not intervened, I'm telling you that the SNIT itself, we have been sold.
Okay, but what if SNET wants to avoid the examples you give, like Aluworks and all of those? They don't want to sit down for these hotels to also go out of the system like Aluworks, and so they want to allow private intervention. Isn't that a good thing for them to do?
Private person, when we know that Rock City itself is making losses, the person who is coming to buy it is not breaking even with his own business. So what is the assurance that is going to give to us that even though I could not run my company well, but for the workers' own, I can do better? I mean, so some of these things, that's what I'm saying, that we must even target the SNET institution, is the body itself. We must look at it.
Okay.
How the structures, the managing director, the deputies, and the staffing there, the hierarchy, we must make sure that we turn our attention there. But recently, you all know how they even dismissed Dr. Tinkrine, and eventually his deputy even resigned. What policies is going on there? Then Mr. Mahfouz Chilet was up there. What is this?
Okay. Mr. Kumsa, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. He is Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsa, there. Two other stories. A few days ago, you were likely to buy 4 pieces of fresh tomatoes for 10 cedis. But today, the same quantity is now selling at 20 cedis. The minority on Parliament's Agric and Cocoa Affairs Committee is warning the prices of foodstuffs could get worse as government recent intervention has failed to yield the expected results. Join us, Semefa Kpesu, when shopping at the Malata market here in Accra, and reports traders no longer sell tomatoes below 20 cedis.
In recent weeks, consumers and vendors alike have noticed a significant increase in the cost of tomatoes. Just a few days ago, you could buy 4 pieces of tomatoes for 10 Ghana cedis and 2 pieces for 5 Ghana cedis. Today, the market price has changed, with the least price being 20 Ghana cedis for 4 smaller pieces. Vendors at the Malam market report that a box of tomatoes is now selling for between 6,000 to 7,000 Ghana cedis. They describe this year's surge in prices as outrageous.
This year, dear, you won't be there is too much. And to see why they are 4,200, 4,500, but this year, you found those 7,500, 7,800. Over to me, you know, 7,000 a quarter, we are knowing your 4,000. See, a tomato, this is here, if you crow my yard, then you can never wear the chain. Bakina, dear neighbor, this year, we a gun and toast. If you crow my yard, a crow my yard, dear, never wear the chain, Bakina, but this year, no. Ebin sida every blessing dey and say me ko fa no me ko yi mo ba ma ni asamefa where me tin me fa 7200.
Many vendors have reported a decrease in sales volume as consumers are buying less due to the higher prices. The prices have been attributed to several factors, from transportation costs to inflation to seasonal inconsistencies.
I want 20 cedis, 40 cedis. Ani pa nta ni ato no so. Yet, say, 26. Those no more de free. Almost a code de voix. It is safer, no, Mosses a cotton. It's an almost a banisa.
My market, you want to me to here. We say, me 200 cities. We 100 cities. We 40 cities. We 20. Besides, any part of the door saying, when I bet me, I told to 100 cities and San Juan Mediane. We are told to 100 cities. Better Moko saying, better on your address, and I'm saying,
my son say, not in soon and tunnel.
Vendors are seeking government intervention to stabilize the prices of essential inputs. They also hope for better infrastructure support to reduce transportation costs.
Omo ye bi na omo ti de ba meye to Ghana anke ye bi Ghana anke beti maboy.
Well, let's take you to the northern region, where correspondent Martina Bogri is standing by with what the situation is there like. Martina, you have visited the market. What can you report with regards to food prices?
The major one that people are talking about is tomatoes, and then also onions and pepper. These are the major ones that people are talking about. Tomatoes used to sell at 1,200, 1,500, depending on the size of the box. But currently it's being sold at 4,000, between 4,000 and 4,500. Onions for the small Olonka, it went for probably 20 cedis, but now people are buying it at 100 cedis. As for pepper, it's been 100 cedis for the past 3 months now. And so these are the three major things that people are talking about. The prices have gone up so high that this year, people have to switch from the normal rice and stew that we have had always with tomatoes. This time, people are either preparing rice balls, which is with granule soup, or people are switching to using bell pepper and some onions to mix the prepared stew. And so people are talking, they are worried about the prices, and the traders attribute it to vehicles not bringing some from Burkina Faso, and as one, they also say that they travel further than before to bring the tomatoes. So when they come in, the prices have to increase. They are hoping that the system in Ghana would create a system that people be able to farm all year round, and these prices would stabilize for people to be able to buy.
If they say they travel far, did they tell you where and where they get these tomatoes from or these produce from?
So they said in the past they went to Navrongo or to Burkina Faso. But into Burkina Faso, they went not too far from the border, so it was cheaper. But now they would have to go hinterland, and that's why the cost is skyrocketing. So if they were going 100 kilometers and bringing it this time, they are going up to 200 kilometers, and that cost has to be added to the price of the tomatoes, and that's why we are having the hikes in the region.
Is the tomatoes the local one or the one from Burkina?
So currently, we don't even have the one from Burkina. These are local ones that we are having now.
Okay.
A month ago, we had some that would come from Burkina, but that one was very expensive, and so people could actually not buy at all. This has rendered several traders who deal in tomatoes jobless, because they couldn't import, they couldn't bring in. So they had to call on the local ones that we have. And with that, we don't have too many of them in the market, and that's why we still have the price high.
Okay. Grateful to you. Now, joining us also on this line is correspondent Anas Sabet, who has been gauging the prices at the at one of the country's food basket, Techiman. Anas, you have been interacting with traders. How much are they paying tomatoes, or are they selling tomatoes for, and other foodstuffs?
Bruce, you know, like you rightly put, Techiman or the Bonoise region is more or less the food basket of the country. And when it comes to tomatoes, Chobodom is more or less the hub of tomatoes. This time around, honestly, I have to visit the farms after engaging some market women at the Timan Central Market, where I was told 2 weeks ago a mini box of tomatoes, which used to sell 800 Ghana cedis, rose to 1,100 Ghana cedis a week ago. And as at now, the same, you know, quantity of tomato, the mini box of tomato, is now selling at 1,500 Ghana cedis. And in fact, it's not as if the tomato is available in abundance. It is quite scarce. The reason being that, you know, farmers did not have, you know, production as expected. So I had to travel to some farms where I engaged the farmers, and according to them, this year the climate change, the weather condition, you know, affected their tomato production largely, because the rains didn't come as expected, and as a result, most of them have to lose their farms due to the climate, you know, impact. And that, according to them, is the very reason why the tomato is scarce, and the scarcity is, you know, indirectly, you know, determining the cost of tomato at the market. So that is the situation here from Techiman. And then I have to also, like I said, visit some farms and then engage the farmers who claim or who say that the situation is, you know, largely because of the, you know, wind impact that has changed.
Okay, grateful to you. Well, a commercial farmer, Dr. Ben Awenam, is blaming the hike in food prices on the rising cost of farm inputs and the free fall of the city.
Yes, if you take last year, for instance, let me be specific with a food item like rice. When we produced rice last year, if you take a 25 kg bag of rice, it was being sold between 300 and 320. That is coming straight directly from the Kindiki Valley. But this year, it's way beyond 400 Ghana cedis. That is just a 25 kg bag of paddy rice that is produced and milled. And principally, that is as a result of the increase in agricultural inputs that we have no control over, because most of the potassium and the other ingredients that we need to produce the fertilizers are imported. And once there is a disturbance in the import price, it also affects the production of the food that we produce here. Then we can also talk about tractor services or mechanized services. If you look at the cost of plowing an acre last year compared to this year, there is a significant increase. And if you also look at other inputs that goes into the production of rice specifically, they fall short up, and that will reflect in what we are seeing today.
Well, Deputy Ranking on the Agric and Cocoa Affairs Committee, Dr. Godfred Seydou-Jasawa, is raising questions about budgetary allocations to support hundreds of farmers in tomato and onion production.
And for tomato, which is a very short season crop, one would expect, and indeed the ministry did expend some budget in supplying seed of tomato and onion to farmers. The question is, who are the farmers that benefited from it? What acreages of production for these two specific commodities did they engage in? Where are the produce? Why is that not contributing to availability of tomato and onion in specific terms in the market? How has that contributed to the market prices we are witnessing now? Clearly, one can infer that there is a missing link. Either the production didn't go on, or there's a problem with the supply, or there's a credibility crisis. We don't know whether this really happened. Now, if you talk about augmenting local production, what are the deliberate arrangements in place? We've been talking about irrigation. We've been talking about farmer support, and so on and so forth. But this speaks to the larger policy environment that the ministry is now pushing in under the new Planting for Food and Jobs. I have told you that this new Planting for Food and Job is a policy or program that we don't even understand. And they themselves appear to show that they don't even understand it, because they tell us that it will be private sector driven. Now, you ask any private sector operator on what their specific role in making sure food is available to us is, and the private sector person in the agro will tell you they are not sure what their role is. And so if you have this kind of uncertainty in even the policy space and environment, then you can be sure that the implementation cannot be coherent, the implementation cannot be strategic, and the implementation is such that you will not get the results you are expecting. And so with this, I can predict that we should brace ourselves for higher food prices on our market.
Dr. Godfred Seydou-Jasawa is ranking on the Agric and Cocoa Affairs Committee of Parliament. Now, Deputy Speaker of Parliament Joseph Osewusu has asked the Education Committee to thoroughly investigate the circumstances surrounding delays in the payment of fees for thousands of Ghanaian students abroad and report to the House. After months of delays in payment of academic user fees and stipends for thousands of Ghanaian students abroad, government recently announced it has disbursed funds to pay the arrears. We'll hear from the speaker shortly, but first, here is the ranking member on the Education Committee, Dr. Clement Park, revealing that some Ghanaian students are equally stranded in the UK after being logged out of their school portals for owing fees to their respective schools.
I can tell you that I've received reports from students studying in other parts of the world. So whilst we are still contending with the situation regarding our students in Morocco, who held a protest about some 3 to 4 weeks ago, I can tell you on authority that I've received a petition from Ghanaian students studying in the UK to the effect that for the past 10 months, they have not also received their stipends. Many of them have been locked out of their school portals. Some have been driven out of their accommodation. Some have had to go and take loans just to get by. That is not acceptable either.
In June, government announced the release of some 60 million Ghana cedis for the payment of these fees and stipends. But Member of Parliament for North Tone, Samuel Okudjetua-Blakwa, says weeks after the government's announcement, the stranded students are yet to receive their monies.
Mr. Speaker, the Registrar of the Ghana Scholarship Secretariat, Mr. Kingsley Ajiman, stated on Joint News on the 3rd of June that the Ministry of Finance has released 60 million Ghana cedis for the stipends, academic user and tuition fees of these students abroad. While this initiative is a step in the right direction, the students have still not received their stipends from latest checks. It is also imperative, Mr. Speaker, to stress that this announced release appears woefully inadequate
to resolve the entire crisis. The situation is so precarious, Mr. Speaker, that some students have graduated without their stipends and therefore cannot receive their certificates as they remain stranded in foreign countries. Right, Mr. Speaker, may I use this esteemed platform to impress upon all our students who find themselves in this state of profound despondency to keep hope alive and have confidence in Parliament to stand with them until this unconscionable crisis is resolved once and for all.
But the situation has prompted the First Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Joseph Osewusu, to direct the Education Committee to investigate further.
Let them speak to the agency and find out what their challenges are and report to the House.
But even before the committee begins its work, Education Committee member and MP for Nsawo Madueji, Frank Anodompre, believes the best solution to the problem is to separate the Scholarship Secretariat from the Office of the President.
What I think we should be doing, apart from a call for early budget release, we must have a legislation. And the Scholarship Secretariat cannot be under the presidency. I am of the view that it has to be an independent, kind of an independent institution that will award scholarship on merit. It is amazing that from 1960, Speaker, we have allowed this institution to be under the presidency for a very, very long time. It is not the case that this unrest and worry is being propagated by students outside the country. It's happening within only in this regime. It has happened in various governments back and forth. So we may probably have to look at a piece of legislation and to grant some independence to the Scholarship Secretary. That, for me, is welcome. Put finality to this matter and probably reduce the challenge to the barest minimum.
Let's do business now. Business News on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. And Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex, Tangs, as well as Pepsodent, Charcoal and Herbal. Now, inflation, the disinflation trend is expected to continue, but at a moderated pace despite the depreciation of the Cedi and expected petroleum price hikes. According to GCB Capital, the near-term inflation profile now appears elevated with a lagged impact of Cedi depreciation, transport fare hike, among others, set to moderate the pace of disinflation in the second half of the year. There's more in the Business Desk report.
The research by GCB Capital revealed that the continuous disinflation will be driven largely by favorable base drift, which should sustain the decline in year-on-year inflation. It expects the imminent main crop harvest season to boost disinflation from the food basket. Furthermore, it said the imminent completion of the second review of Ghana's program with the International Monetary Fund and the release of catalytic funding should improve the foreign exchange reserve, cushion and trigger a marginal correction, sustaining the disinflation trend. Ghana's consumer price inflation eased again in May 2024, reaching a 26th month low of 23.1%. This follows another base included decline in the overall and the food consumer price index year-on-year. GCB Capital said, though it expected the decline, the pace was slower than envisaged. This is as a result of the simmering price pressures from the pass-through of the Cedi depreciation, transport fare hikes, and seasonal effect on food prices.
Government has been urged to develop policies that will ensure a dignified income and compensation for workers in both public and private sectors. This is critical to the growth of the economy and transformation of the labor market in African countries, including Ghana. Speaking to journalists after launching the Africa Youth Employment Clock by the World Data Lab and Mastercard Foundation, Vice President of Strategic Engagement for World Data Lab, Dr. Reshma Shiraj, called for an improvement in living conditions of workers.
In Ghana, there's 6 million youth between the ages of 15 to 35 that are employed. But if you really dissect that employment, you know, and the composition of that employment, we're seeing a lot of employment coming out of services, and then it's actually in the agri sector. But the bigger question, not only for Ghana, but broadly for the continent, is how do you actually get higher paying jobs, right? It's not a question of unemployment. It's a question of people getting more dignified, fulfilling jobs and higher wages that are associated with those jobs as well. So I think that's something to pay attention to, you know, moving up the services value chain.
Let's do the NSMQ now, because it's been an all-down acceleration for the boys of St. Mary Senior High School, who have just grabbed the first Western Regional slot to the Nationals of the 2024 Science and Maths Quiz. St. Mary's boys SHS defeated in Paul Half Asini Badu Bonso and St. Augustine Senior High School to book a spot. James Avedi, report from Fiji SHS in the Western Region.
Man. We expect win, always win. There's no competition, man.
Win,
no competition.
Schools like Presex, St. Augustine, Achimota are all listening.
Yeah, we know they are listening, but still we are coming. We are coming live and current. St. John's, they are our target. They kicked us out last year, so we want to take revenge on them. St. John's.
St. John's should look out for you.
Yeah, they should look out for us, live and current.
How many points are you beating them with?
Oh, not less than 70.
You are getting 70 points.
No, like the gap, not less than 70.
70?
Yes, not less than
V.
This, you said.
That sounds like a lot of V.
Yeah, because I know my boys, they are prepared. They are fully prepared.
Have you consulted them? Have they given you the go ahead to say what you are saying?
Of course, yes.
So you think that they can give you 70 points?
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so that's the boys from St. Mary's. They are looking forward to give a revenge to St. John's, because they took them out last year at the 1/8. They said they will give them at least 70 points to chase in the Nationals.
Well, and that's how the St. Mary's boys are preparing to take over the National. Unfortunately, they beat my school, Badu Bonso, there. But better luck next time to the boys and ladies from Badu Bonso Senior High School. And that's how we wrap up today's edition of the Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM, and as well as on Love 99.5 in Kumasi and several of our affiliates across the country. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. There's more news on myjoyonline.com. Thanks for being a part of us. Good evening.